Anyway, it's really good to see you all. So glad that you're here this morning. Last week, this time, I was going to say Happy Valentine's Day. So we totally missed Valentine's Day. Hope it was good for you. I want you to take just a moment and look at the insert and look at the talk title. It says Passion and Sparks. Now, you might wonder at that, because that doesn't seem like a title that you might think that we'd be talking about in church, right? Passion and sparks, really? When I was preparing for the last newsletter and I was looking at the book, The Art of Possibilities, and kind of looking at the material and laying it out over the 2 months that, you know, the newsletter was going to cover, and deciding which parts of the book were going to be which week, I got so excited because last Sunday, Valentine's Day, was the week that Passion and Sparks landed on. I thought, what divine order? Well, you know, now we didn't do it last week, but I can't skip it because it's yet another step in the process. And if you think I tweaked the words a little bit to make it sound a little racier, I did not. Let me tell you what the chapter titles are. The one chapter is called Giving Way to Passion, and the other one is Lighting a Spark. So I didn't make this up. Well, you might wonder, what does this have to do, this passion and spark, what does it have to do with possibility? Because possibility is what we've been talking about. Well, it's because when you do things passionately, it feels good. It feels really good. I loved your song. It was just perfect. And then to be thinking about, you know, with possibility, how could it be? How wonderful could it be? When we do something with passion, we are engaged with our hearts, minds, and souls. I remember way back in the 80s, actually, it was, and I think I've told you the story about my aquariums before. I won't go into a great deal of detail, but what started out as just getting my son a little 10-gallon tank became a living room full of tanks of tropical fish, and I just loved it. I mean, for several years, I was so involved in my tropical fish and the tanks and all of that. I loved spending time at the pet stores and looking at the fish and plants, you know, what would look good in my tank and what wouldn't. So it became a passion for several years. It was one of those things, and I know you can relate, that time would just fly by. You know, when you really like something that you're doing, the time just flies. And I'd like to try something right now. I would ask you to just close your eyes for a moment and think about something that you just love to do. You might even picture yourself doing it in your mind's eye. See yourself doing this that you absolutely love. Notice in your body what your energy's like. How do you feel? Go ahead and open your eyes. Some excitement? Feel good? Passion feels good. It feels really good. We talked before about possibility and how if we want to live in the universe of possibility, anything's possible. I'd love that the Daily Word mentioned that today, too. There is divine order. There really is. When we are living in this universe of possibility, it's like anything can happen. And when we are open, when we are passionate about what it is that we're doing, our minds, hearts, spirits are open. It's amazing how the two are synchronized. We've been working on the book, The Art of Possibility, as you know. Last week we talked about, well, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the blocks to possibility, some things we might be doing that we are not even aware of, you know, thinking of ourselves in very limited ways, for example, things that we can choose to change if we want. Today we are going to explore some new possibilities. There are two steps. I see some of you writing, you know, week after week, and I had several things I wanted to share with you, so I thought rather than you trying to have to write it all down, you don't have to pay attention to the seat if you want to, but if you don't, now as we go through this, you don't have to write all this down. So, but there are two things that we're going to be addressing today as we step forward and try to explore possibility even more as we step into the universe of possibility and deal with passion, you know, and lighting a spark. First of is letting go, having to do with passion, to give ourselves permission, I guess, to let go of that which is holding us back. And the second thing is being open to being a spark and catching the spark. So we'll talk about each of these. So the first one, let it go, is what it encourages us to do. Who has seen the movie Frozen? Almost everybody. Well, many of you, not all of you. But I did it as a talk once at Jeff City, and so watched it several times through. And so I almost used the song Let It Go as part of today's service. It's an awesome song. But I also know that there are parents and grandparents who are up to here with Let It Go. So I didn't do that. But it is an amazing song. In a nutshell, I'm going to try and condense Frozen for you if you haven't seen it. It is a movie about two sisters, Elsa and Anna, and they're princesses. Their parents die, and Elsa, when she comes of age, is going to become the queen. When they are children, Elsa has this amazing power within her to freeze anything, to make snow, to make ice. She creates the delightful winter paradise things for her younger sister. She can do this, and there'll be snow, and she can do this, and there's a beautiful mountain of snow, and then there's icy, you know, it's amazing what she can do. The little sister would wake her up and say, you want to build a snowman? If you've heard that phrase, that's where it comes from. You want to build a snowman? And everything was wonderful until Elsa was doing this and slipped, and the little one, Anna, got hit by this energy that Elsa had put out. She was hurt badly, she recovered, but because of it, Elsa then at the encouragement of her parents, shut down. You know, she isolated herself in a room in the castle. She completely barricaded herself because she was afraid of the power that she had and did not want to hurt anybody with it. So then you fast forward to when the parents die and it's Elsa's time to become the leader. Things were going pretty well. She had gloves on so that whatever she touched would not turn into ice. And she had, things happened. She ended up creating ice, knocking somebody down, I think, or something. And then she ran. She just ran. And when she did, she was singing Let It Go. And it was just magnificent. If you haven't seen it, you should, just for that song. Because as she's running, she's letting go of all of the limitations that she had bound herself with, through all the years. She, think about this metaphysically. Holy cow, you know, the power that we have within us. We don't even know the power that we have within us. I think that's why I like the movie Frozen so much. And because we do have great power. We have great power with our thoughts and our words and our actions to hurt or to help, just like Elsa. So she runs, she completely changes her demeanor, you know, her outfit, she creates an ice castle, and she is completely herself. And as she's singing this Let It Go, it's amazing. You just feel this freedom that she's experiencing. And it's beautiful because she is throwing off all of the bindings, everything that has kept her from being who she truly was. There is a quote, and you have it on your page, by Soren Kierkegaard. If I were to wish for anything, I should not wish for wealth and power, but for the passionate sense of what can be, for the eye which, ever young and ardent, sees the possible. Pleasure disappoints, possibility never. And what wine is so sparkling, what so fragrant, what so intoxicating as possibility? I think it's really true. I had an experience just this past week. I woke up, and like I do many mornings, I just kind of think about the day ahead and what I want to get done and what I need to do and what I might not do, all of that. And it wasn't like I was dreading anything, but it wasn't like I was looking forward to anything either. You know, just those kind of, okay, this is what I got to do, you know. But something switched, and I think I'd had a conversation, a surprise conversation. You know how they pop up sometimes? Maybe you talk to a clerk at a store or something, like the day before, that I hadn't intended, or, you know, it was, I don't even remember who it was, but it was just a pleasant little interjection in the day that was nice. And that popped in my head, and then I thought, well, what could happen today? You know, maybe something I hadn't thought about might happen today. Maybe I'll, you know, so it was a new way of looking at things. So I think that as we think about this, we can intend then that we look at things with fresh eyes, look at things with passion. There are two practices for passion. And it says the first step is to notice where you are holding back and let go. Now, how many of you, like me, might be reluctant to just let go? Right. Yes. And, you know, and I'm not encouraging you to completely let go in all places at all times. I didn't say that. but I would suggest that maybe we're holding ourselves back in ways that we're not even aware of. So, as it says on here, release those barriers of self that keep you separate and in control. Do we really have control anyway? No. I don't think we have control really of all that much. We can, you know, but anyway. Release those barriers of self that keep you separate and in control, and let the vital energy of passion surge through you, connecting you to all beyond. Imagine what that would be like. Rather than know that, okay, today when I get up, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to have this for breakfast, and I'm going to do that. I mean, that's all fine, and I'll probably get a good amount of stuff done. But to be open to the possibility to let go of the control of this has to happen now, and then that has to happen, to say, well, I want to do these three things today, and then the rest we'll see. You know? Maybe another way to look at things, you know, perhaps. So the first is to let go. Let go. And the second step is to participate wholly. Allow yourself to be a channel to shape the stream of passion into a new expression for the world. You are a unique creation of the universe, a creation of God. There is no one who can bring to this world what you can. No one. There is no one with the experiences that you have, with the beliefs that you have, with the talents and skills and knowledge that you have, and that beautiful combination comes together as you. There is no one that can give the world what you can. And so this is an opportunity to think of, what can we give? How can we best express who and what we are? Express what we call, in unity, call the Christ. How can we best do that? It is by letting go of this whole illusion of control, to let go of those bindings that we may have bound ourselves up in, and to let it flow. Participate wholly. Make sense? Yeah. Okay. The second is called enrollment, the practice of enrollment. What it says here is, give yourself as a possibility to others and being ready in turn to catch their spark. It's about playing together as partners in a field of light. And this, I think, refers to what I would call that learner's mind that Leilani Burt talks about, having a learner's mind. And so when you have a learner's mind, you are open to other ways of thinking, other ways of being. Rather than, well, this is the prescribed plan for this. This is how I do it. This is exactly what I do. Okay, well, do that if that's what you know, but be open to other possibilities. When we are open to new ideas, we are more likely to be inspired, more likely to see something or to hear something in a conversation or on the radio that might just answer a question. When we are open to those possibilities, who knows what can happen? There was a story in the book that I thought was very good. The co-author, Ben, talks about one day, I think it was a Sunday, he decided to go for a bike ride. And he started out, and part of the way, wherever he was going, his tire went flat. It wasn't like damaged, it just needed air. He had money, but it was a $10 bill, so he was close to a service station or store or something. I forgot now exactly what it was, but he wheeled up there. There were some people there. I think the store was actually closed, and there was the air machine. It took quarters, though, and he didn't have any quarters. He just had the $10 bill. So he asked the guys, that were there, the two guys, do either of you have change for this 10? I need to get air for my bike. Neither of them had change. So Ben writes that there the three of them were, like, all three sad that nothing could happen because he had the money, but they didn't have the change, and so he couldn't ride his bike. He couldn't get air in there. And then he had an idea. He decided to enroll them. He decided to ask, well, could I have 50 cents? Would you give me 50? It just took two quarters. And they, well, sure. So they gave two quarters. So rather than trying to figure out how am I going to get change for the $10 bill, how am I going to pay them back, trying to exchange information, all that, would you give me two quarters? They were thrilled to give him two quarters. And he said that then they became, his word was enrolled. All three of them then were committed to getting air in this tire and moving forward with it. It was beautiful. So what they're suggesting, the authors are suggesting, is that people want to do that. They want to not only be helpful or successful for ourselves, but they want others to be successful too. So the two guys that were there certainly were thrilled to be a part of the guy being able to ride off on his bike. And wouldn't we do the same? I would like to think that maybe I would have thought of giving him the quarters. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. But he had a great idea. There are some steps. Practice of enrollment. Imagine that people are an invitation for enrollment. So what does that mean? Well, I think it means, just like the guys who were there who were more than willing to give Ben the 50 cents, people are an invitation for enrollment. People would love to help others most of the time. I think that is sort of our human nature. We love to help. We love to give. We love to spread joy. And it might require a bit of a shift in our thinking. Because if we fear people, if we think that people are not friendly, if we think that people are out to get us or anything like that, this may be difficult, but we can begin to shift. People are an invitation for enrollment. Number two, stand ready to participate, willing to be moved and inspired. So it isn't just about us inspiring. It is about us being ready to be inspired too. And that's that being a leader or being led. And it's okay either way. Most of us, if you've heard the expression, if you want to learn something, teach it, which is so very true. And if you want to learn something, tell it on Sunday. It's because we gain, if we allow ourselves to, we are both giving, but we're also receiving. And so this be ready to participate is sort of an understanding and awareness that, yes, we can receive and be open and willing to do that. I think we get in trouble when we think that, no, I am the expert, and it has to be my way. We've talked about my way or the highway. Yeah. As soon as we get into that kind of thinking, we just block ourselves up, those limitations that we want to shed. Stand ready to participate. Number three, offer that which lights you up. And I think in this case, when we are passionate about something, when we are lit up about something, we naturally want to give it. It's a natural part of our expression. I think it was it Joseph Campbell that talked about follow your bliss? Does that sound right? Anyway, there are people who have written about this. I do remember the first ministry that I had when I was in Irving, Texas. I was visiting someone in the hospital, and it occurred to me, and I even said, I just can't believe they pay me to do this. Because I'd love to talk to people, and there I was visiting somebody in the hospital, and I'm just sitting and chatting, and I just got this rush of well-being. You know, oh my gosh, they pay me to do this. This is great. When we love what we do, no matter what it is easy to share. It is easy to offer that, whether you're paid or not, certainly. Offer that which lights you up. Because you're also going to be just an amazing teacher when you are passionate about something, too. And number four, have no doubt that others are eager to catch the spark. The guys with the bicycle. If his idea, you know, if I can imagine his face, would you give me 50 cents? You know, just occurring to him, spitting it out, and then them catching that. Sure, they caught the spark. There are many, many inspiring, motivational speakers who know well how to do that. Boy, Steve Jobs just popped in my head. He was a man who wanted to, as I understand it, wanted to invent things that people didn't even know they needed yet, and he's done it. I heard on the radio a couple days ago that I think half of the cell phones, I can't remember, it was just the United States or in the world, half of them are iPhones. That's pretty amazing. Talk about market share. Catching the spark. So it is possible. We can be inspiring, and we can be inspired. So how are we to do all of this in these next two steps of stepping into a universe of possibility, of trying to live in the universe of possibility? What are these two steps? Giving way to passion, lighting a spark. Well, I think that one way that works well for me is to notice what I admire in others. Because if you notice it in someone else, there is some in you. And so then when you can see that in someone else, you know you have it, and you can work on expanding that. Observe yourself. Observe yourself in those times when you are really enjoying what you're doing. Take note of that maybe that's a passion. What could I do to expand that out into the world? Practice passion. When you know that there are things that you love to do, give yourself time to do them. Make it a regular part of your day, of your week, because that obviously is going to be nurturing you. Practicing passion can be letting go of those notions that I can't do this, you know, whatever, and participating wholly. Just immerse yourself in it. And then commit to inspiring others and letting yourself be inspired by others. Being willing to be open to possibilities, being willing to be the best that you can be, and being willing to see that best in other people and to encourage them in theirs. We can all live in this universe of possibility. Let's take a few moments, as we do each week, to have that connection once again with our Creator, with God. So I invite you to gently close your outer eyes if you haven't already. Allow your body to just relax, to slow down. As we allow our minds and our bodies to slow, we find ourselves relaxing more and more. Thoughts may pop up as they do, and we let them pass through, but we don't grab on. We relax. We breathe. And as often happens when we are quiet, still, we are open. We are open to feeling our oneness, our connection. Sometimes the feeling is just a sense of peace and well-being, of safety. Almost like, oh, I can breathe. When we are quiet and still, all of the busyness and the hurry and the outer world subsides. It is still there, it's always there, but for now it is quiet. For now, it is peaceful. And in the quiet and in the peace, we again reconnect with that highest part of ourselves. We reconnect with Spirit. In these times of connection, we often find that we will have a sense of trust, of well-being. Worry falls away. We realize that God is always present. God is ever present. And we relax even more. As we are open and receptive, we then become open, willing, receptive vessels for anything and everything that we need. Guidance has a clear path to come to us. So we receive guidance. We receive wisdom. Divine ideas are able to come through the busyness, get through all of that, and plant themselves in our minds. Divine ideas that may well take us along a path of possibility, may take us closer to a passion, may open us in ways that we might not have thought about before. These times of connection soothe us, comfort us, strengthen us, so that the trials and tribulations of the days past kind of fall away, and we become aware again of our oneness, our wholeness. We reclaim our vitality. We reclaim our abundance. We latch on to the truth of our beings. In these times of connection, we get a clearer sense of who we have come here to be. And we also get that deep, wonderful reassurance that we are supported and guided all along the way to being that best that we can be. And so as we do each week, let us now take some time in silence to experience the oneness, to experience and relish this connection, to be open, willing, receptive in the silence. And we are grateful. We are so grateful for the awareness that God so loves us. We are grateful for the awareness that we have this ever-present companion and guide and support at all times. We are grateful that all we need do in any moment, in any stressful situation, or even in any celebration, that all we need do is step once again to that place of quiet within, to reconnect to all that we need, all that we want, all that we desire. We are grateful to be beloved children of God. And in our gratitude and with deep love, let us complete our time together as we speak the words that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.